CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday. We are already well into February. The first week is done. It's the 7th. We have done it. We've crushed the first week of February. January is now a horrible memory for most people. I mean, only horrible because there's never any money in January, but we're over that now. We're through. We're done. We're moving on up. So Mash is here. Mash is actually in the studio in Joburg, which we're still busy sorting from the point of view of like soundproofing and stuff. But otherwise, we're good. We're good to go. Right, Mash?
We are good to go. The studio is looking absolutely amazing, Gareth. Just soundproofing left and then we're good to go.
Yeah, no, it sounds pretty crisp as well, so that's awesome. And yes, Gord Laws is joining us today. Carl's very excited about that. Gordon fucking Laws today. Yeah, baby. Yes, he is. He's going to be with us from about 6:30 this morning. We got lots to talk about, lots of things to do, and stuff to discuss. So let's get into it. All right, Mash. First of all, you told me the sad news yesterday. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm so upset. It's 2 days in a row of bad news. The first day back this week on Monday, yesterday, I found out that Didi Mabuza has resigned as, deputy president. I was horrified and saddened and upset and thought, how are we going to manage without him? He was so important to the functioning of our democracy. And now you tell me, this is going to be the last season of Idols? Oh
Gareth, as soon as I heard this news, just weeping and crying, and that to get me water, and that to get me desperate, because I was just so trauma-ridden. Oh, such terrible news.
I sent this to Unati and Randall yesterday. I said to them, oh, guys, so sad. TV with Tinus tweeted the following. They said, breaking news. Mnet has cancelled Idol South Africa after massive ratings drop and viewer fatigue. And that's just terrible. Viewer fatigue. After a failed revitalization attempt in 2022 with two new judges, season 19 in 2023, Arnhem Zanzi Magic will be the final season. Shim.
Gareth Bourne, I was gauging with what people were saying on Twitter about the topic, and there was quite some mixed emotions. By mixed emotion, I mean varying levels of joy. But people on Twitter were celebrating, and it was just insane. It was insane. People are saying, finally. People are saying, finally, this country is moving in the right direction. Idols is finally coming to an end. And it was so sad to see, quite sad to see. But thinking back to Idols, I can't remember anyone who won it.
I was on the show and I didn't even remember who won it. You know, this is let me be mean to you, like I am to everybody else who's a fan of these reality shows. When they don't remember who won, or they go, oh, well, nothing happened to the winners. Like, what do you expect to happen? The whole reason they exist is for entertainment on the show. When the show ends, what do you think is going to happen when they're not on your TV every week? You think they're going to get more famous? Like where? Like who? If I say the name Ruben Studded, do you know who that is?
It sounds like a condom brand. What is that?
He was the guy who won American Idol the year after Kelly Clarkson did.
I have no clue who that is. Kelly Clarkson, I just lost interest in the American one as well.
So the reason Kelly Clarkson was a big deal is because she was the first American Idol. And what she went on and did is she won Grammys and she became a big singing superstar. She's got her own TV show now. And she was, because she was the first one, she was the one who grabbed everyone's imagination. She fired the show off in a big way. Well, she didn't, but the show fired off in a big way. And it was a massive thing. Every other season since then has delivered a winner, but nobody cares. Like, it's nobody's running around singing songs of praise about the country girl who won like the fifth season. I don't even remember her name. And you know, here's the stupid thing about human beings is those shows are created to involve you in the show. As soon as the show ends, that person, that's the highest their fame will ever be. That's the best they'll ever do. After that, they're going to go like this, because each new season brings a new winner and new characters. And guess what? You only have this much space in your head for reality TV stars. You can't remember them all.
And one thing I've seen about...
I ask you who won the first episode of Survivor you ever watched. You wouldn't know.
I wouldn't. Ever.
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know who... and then, you know, people go, oh, but some of them, like Kelly Clarkson or whatever. And I go, yeah, but there are exceptions to every rule. Just like, you know, there were a lot of singers in the 80s who everyone forgot except Dory, you know?
With her 80s show.
But you know,
and you know, Garrett, the last idol I remember seeing, and I've told you this before, was this other lady named Norma. I just remember she was a teacher. That was like the standout thing about her. And as soon as she won, she just vanished. I remember seeing her CD at CNA selling for R5.
You see, but
that's like, ooh.
Okay, so I've said this before on the show, and I'm not proud of it, but it's something that's worth. I was a judge on the show. So I met these people, and I spent week after week with them from the group stages until they were eventually thrown out or they won. Right. And I remember nothing. Randall and I went out for drinks one night, and we were, now there are two judges. You'd think that we'd remember. And we were out with Anele of all people, and this girl came up and said hello to us, and we were like, hi, how are you doing? You're always friendly and nice, because there's no reason to be an asshole about it. So we're saying hello. And then as this girl leaves, Anele says to both of us, you know who that is, right? And we were like, no. She said, that was last year's Idols winner. We didn't know.
We didn't even remember.
No, I promise you. And it's not. We weren't trying to be horrible. We weren't like, it wasn't because we thought we were a big deal and we were trying to like be assholes about it. We honestly didn't remember. It just wasn't it's not an important thing in my life to remember who won Idols and you know, which shows I judged. The other day, someone came up on TV and I looked and I thought, I'm sure I know that person from somewhere. It was the girl who won in the first season I was a judge. So that's years and years ago, right? That's like, I mean, that was season 2 of the whole show. Now it's on season 19. I finished on season 11. So since I finished, they've done another 8 seasons. I don't know what's been happening on that show. Listen, TV is like a sausage factory. Okay, they make sausages. You would never ever go into the kitchen when they make sausages because it'll put you off sausages for life. But it works. It's a great concept. But I was always most worried, and you know, the producers will tell you this, who I think are terrific people, by the way, and I think they've done an amazing job. But you know, you eventually can't keep flogging the dead horse.
And there's also that thing that they call the Idols curse. And it's when if you win Idols, your music career will never take off, no matter how good you are. All the winners always end up nowhere, but the second place people, the third place people, they're the ones who go on and gain success in the music industry. Yeah, sure. That's just how it goes.
You and I were at a party on Friday last week. We both dressed up and went off to this fancy dress party, and it was you, me, and Devon. And it was one of our clients and friends. And it was a really awesome party. And I saw Lloyd Trele there. And I think Lloyd Trele was an Idols like runner up or something.
Yeah, he was.
But I remember Lloyd because yes, he did go on to do amazing things. But that's true for everything, isn't it? There's no curse. It's like there's only that much space in the music business. But what it does prove, and then I'll move on from this because I really don't care anymore. But what it does prove is that fame alone will not make you successful. You can be famous. In other words, I can put you on TV every week. And this is in the days when TV counted. Right now, obviously, things like YouTube and TikTok are more important than TV, right? So we all accept that. But in those days, people watched TV because there wasn't as much stuff going on the internet. TV was the big one. And specifically prior to, I would say, like 2012, 13, I'd say that TV was really a very big deal in this country. If you had a TV show in South Africa, you were a monster. You had immediate access to millions of people watching you. If you did a good TV show, and you were on television in prime time, there was no reason that anyone in South Africa wouldn't know your name. So it was a big, big deal. Now, obviously,
yeah, it used to be.
It used to be, right. And now it's all over the internet. And you know, if you have 20,000 people who are watching your YouTube channel where you unbox stuff, then you're a star, like a TV star used to be. But because those 20,000 people love you and they make a big noise, and overseas people will hear about you. Suddenly it's 200,000 and then it's 2 million. But you know, those kinds of audience you only ever got on TV. And if you were on every week, you were famous in South African terms or in international terms. You were famous. You had lots of people who knew your name, which is what fame is.
Yeah. Now, but now
what these TV shows prove, these reality shows, is that you could be famous. It doesn't make you successful.
Yes. One doesn't come with the other. And I noticed with also these Big Brother contestants, because Big Brother is back and it's the end thing right now. It's trending every single week, every single day, actually. People just watch people sleep and live and bar.
Oh my God. How boring.
Big Brother. And before then, I was too young to watch Big Brother. My family was like, you ain't watching that crap. And I never did. And when I finally started watching it, I was like, what the hell is this? And I actually have a friend who went to Big Brother and got out the house. And now he's famous, but it's like, okay, this is going to fade very soon because you're famous for being famous. There's nothing else to it. You have no talent. There's no skill set that you have. There's nothing special about you that makes you stand out. You were just on TV, eating, sleeping, and playing games. Right. And there's nothing else that's going to come from it.
Isn't that true of the Kardashians? So I made the mistake of stopping for a second when, you know, when they serve these ads up to you on social media. Mm-hmm. And it was like Kim Kardashian going, oh my God, my family are like, there's this narrative about us on social media and it's just not true. And I looked at what was going on my phone. I was like, fuck sake, are these people still on TV? And people watch that shit. Now, I have never, ever, there are a couple of things I've never watched. Number one, sport, couldn't care less. Number two, reality TV, couldn't care less. Mm. No, I mean, listen, remember, I grew up in a family where my brother and my dad love watching like rugby matches and shit. So they love that stuff. I've never got into it. I was on reality TV. It didn't even make me want to watch it. And the third one is like these things that are hyped, like Big Brother or the Kardashians, any of these shows that everybody loves on purpose. I go, I think something in me is just rebellious. And I'm like, no, I don't want to see what that is. I could care less. That's boring. I didn't give a shit. And then I move on very quickly. So I don't know if it's just a reactive thing, like if someone's enjoying something I don't want to, I don't know what that is. It's like a stupid, childish reaction to stuff. But I've never been interested in that. Oh, and the other one, I suppose, is, well, there are two others. There's cooking shows, which I really don't care about. And because I always think, well, what's the point of watching something that is basically about the sense that you don't get to use on TV, taste, right? If you could taste those dishes, like if they had TV where you could scratch and sniff, or, you know, you could, there was a remote control that would give you the actual taste of whatever someone's making on TV, I'd say, oh my God, that would be an amazing thing to watch. But to watch some other asshole in another country 3 years ago cook something and you go, oh, you know, you see these people and you know what kind of people it is who love those shows. It's people who think in their wildest fantasies that if they just watch someone else cooking something, they're going to be able to do it too. And they don't.
Yeah.
You can't. You are not whatever his name is, the famous chef. I don't even know these people's name. And the fifth one is these people who watch these true life, serial killer things. And like, it upsets the hell out of me. Why would you want to do that? And especially the ones where, like we spoke about last week, these people get wrongfully accused. Oh, it just breaks my heart. I can't watch that. I go to sleep and I'm dreaming about how wrong it was and how it could have been done differently and how did the police officer get it so wrong? And this poor person who spent their life in jail, it just drives me up the wall. So well, I don't want that stuff.
I am one of the people you're describing, by the way, the people who watch cooking shows, but I can only watch cooking shows while I'm eating. The shows about people being wrongfully accused. That is my vibe. You know, I love me some true crime. I love this stuff. I just gobble it all up. But there are so many shows that I feel like went off air too early. Like such as Crazy Games, such as Crazy Games, The Coconuts, Soul Buddies. These are shows that I grew up.
Watch The Coconuts.
I love The Coconuts. I absolutely love the show.
Oh, wow, dude. You're the only person I've ever met who enjoyed The Coconuts. Really?
I used to love that show, like you Beyoncé's and all of that. It was so much fun. I feel like Idols should just be replaced with one of these shows. These shows should be brought back. Because I was like, how the hell did this show that nobody was watching stayed on air for so long?
Oh, speaking of Beyoncé, I got to throw this.
We're enjoying and nobody was watching.
Well, yeah, okay. You know, if that's what blows your mind, cool. I do want to say this about Beyonce, because we got into a whole argument on the staff, the Cliff Central group yesterday, right? Because Beyonce is now the artist with the most Grammys in history. And Stewie is a big fan. She posted this. Congratulations, Beyonce, most Grammy awarded artist of all time. So I just want to bring this up, and I have been moaning about a bunch of stuff this morning, but that, you know, that's part of the reason I suppose I have a show, is because I have so much to moan about. All right. Beyonce is phenomenal. She really is. She is phenomenal primarily because I don't know how someone who can't sing can become so successful, but I think she works really hard. She's a great dancer. She's very disciplined. She is a phenomenally driven human being. She's, you know, in that respect, she's a lot like Madonna. Madonna's also not a great singer, but she's just an incredible performer and has been, in Madonna's case, for like 40 years. And Beyonce may well last 40 years as well. I don't know, but she's already got more Grammys than anyone else. I think that's largely because she's got this crazy, devoted, obsessed fan base. Like the Beehive is just this insane. Yeah. And it's mostly like, I suppose people who maybe they project themselves onto Beyonce. So it's actually got nothing to do with her. It's about how they wish they were like this incredible recording artist, queen of performance, celebrity, you know, married to Jay-Z, mother, goddess. She's beautiful, all of those things. And I don't take any of that away from her, but I do want to say this. The Grammys have become absolute shit. And even though I was very happy to see last night that Zakes Bantwini and that Wouter Kellerman, who we've had on the show before, I mean, Zakes Bantwini's also been on the show before, and I love Zakes. He's one of the nicest people. And really, I have had such good times talking to him. Talented, absolutely phenomenal, right? But I got to say about the Grammys in general, is nobody gives a fuck about the Grammys anymore. Just like I was talking about TV prior to like 2013, 12, TV was the biggest thing. Like the Grammys were once the biggest thing. Now, nobody's watching. This is not just my opinion. You can look at the ratings. There is no one in America watching the Grammys. Like 5 million people, which, you know, in a population of 300 or 400 million people is pathetic. Like there are shows... There are cooking shows that get more viewers than the Grammys now.
And you know, I was even surprised yesterday when someone in the office was like, yeah, did you see Beyonce broke the record? Last night, I was like, wait, what? I was so shocked because I haven't watched it. Well, first of all, I haven't watched any DSTV in a very long time. Let's start there. But every now and then I dip into certain shows, especially true crime stuff. But there was some backlash as well in terms of the Album of the Year Award, which went to Harry Styles, and he won it over Beyonce, and the Beehive lost their minds. They were like, how on earth did this happen? How on earth?
See, what I reckon started to happen here is that now someone like Beyonce carries more followers than the Grammys themselves. So the Grammys realize that in order to at least keep those 5 million or so people who are watching, and I think I might even be giving them too many if I give them 5 million, they have to get the Beehive to watch. because the Beehive are now obsessed with Beyonce. So they only watch the Grammys because they're expecting Beyonce to get all the Grammys. As you just tell now. Like if Harry Styles wins something for, you know, there was a time. I mean, if you look back, and I'm not being one of those old people who's like, oh, well, in my day, the music was better. There was a time where you can go watch this video on YouTube and it'll give you goosebumps no matter who you are or who you're a fan of. You watch Whitney Houston or Michael Jackson go up to collect an award at the Grammys or do a performance at the Grammys. There's this famous performance where Clive Davis had to get Whitney Houston up on stage because she was an unknown. She was brand new on the scene. A couple of people knew about her because of Dionne Warwick being her aunt and her mother being Sissy Houston, right? And Whitney Houston was mostly an unknown, and she released her first ever album, and Clive Davis had got the best songwriters in the world on this album. And she was this beautiful, I mean, really, Whitney, when she came on the scene, was one of the most devastatingly beautiful people, quite apart from the fact that she had, and still does have, in my opinion, the greatest voice of all time. And this woman comes on stage and there's a full symphony orchestra playing, and she gets up there and she delivers this One Moment in Time, which is the song that they wrote for her for the Olympics that year. I mean, you don't get bigger than this in music. And she comes out there and she's wearing this white dress, and she stands in the middle of the stage. There's nothing else, no special effects, no dancers, nothing. She picks up that microphone. There's no vocal effects going on, no auto-tune. This woman belts out this song to the point where everyone in the audience is crying. Not just the Beehive, who'll cry for anything Beyonce does. Everyone in this audience is fucking crying. They've got goosebumps. They're standing up. They're enraptured. They cannot believe what they've just seen. And they all stand up and they all give this woman a standing ovation. And I watched that. I watched this music video. It's not even a music video. It's a performance at the Grammys. And if you aren't moved by that and you can't see the difference between that and Sam Smith at the Grammys this year, then you don't have eyes and you don't have ears. And
clearly.
And you watch Michael Jackson performing when he just broke off from the Jackson 5 and he did his first ever performance. Also, I think it was at the Grammys, and his album, I think it was Thriller, was then nominated. It could even have been one of the other albums. But my God, I mean, these people are just not comparable to what's going on at the Grammys right now. They were international megastars in a way that no one can be today, even if they are fantastically talented. I mean, people talk about Taylor Swift and Beyonce and Justin Bieber. And I'm sorry, it's like a cheap, plastic, watered down version of what those great superstars used to be. You put Whitney and Michael and, all those great artists of when TV was the biggest thing and when the Grammys was the biggest thing up against any of these other people. And these ones look like shit. They just do. And you know that in 100 years, no one's going to remember them. Not to the extent that they'll remember the other ones. We got into this.
Nobody's going to. And the thing is, nowadays, lots of artists are very forgettable. Everybody's just trying to push this whole thing of, let me just make a song that's going to be a smash. And it just ends up with everybody pushing music that sounds the same. There's no more artistry in it anymore. There's no more artistry. There's no more talent. I feel like Beyonce is the last person who puts on a proper show, a proper freaking show where you actually go there and you get an entire experience. Nowadays, everybody's just trying to push numbers. That's all it's about. And speaking of numbers, there was actually a bit of backlash over Zakes Bantwini's Grammy on Twitter yesterday. And it was because, Zakes Bantwini won the Grammy for a song that he did with Vota Kellerman, and as well as Nomcebo Zikode, who sings Jerusalem. The backlash was because people were like, we haven't heard of the song. We've never heard of this song. There was a lot of that yesterday on social media. And they were nominated alongside the likes of Burna Boy. And people were very, very up in arms because they were like, wait, how did this song win the Grammy? Burna Boy's song has more streams than all the nominations put together. And not throwing any shade to Zix Bantwini Vota as well as Nomcebo, but it was quite a tough pill to swallow for many people on social media, and it caused quite a stir. And I saw the song, and people started pushing this narrative on social media that are the Americans doing what they do best, trying to use whatever's most African to them. You know, it's similar to how you know how in American movies, whenever they portray Africans, South African, no matter where you're from, we all have the same accent. We all speak like this, Gareth, all of us here in this continent. And and it's something that they're always pushing. So I saw this music video and I was like, yo, once again, they're pushing that narrative using Africans, where it's like, oh, as long as there's some beads, there's some traditional attire, that's what we're going to push. That's what we're going to push to the Americans. Hence, Americans think that we're just running around with animals all the time.
Well, it's just another reason why the Grammys are so shit. No one watches the Grammys. I think
nobody watches them.
There's going to be a day where it's probably already happened, where some YouTuber can, people on Twitch can pull more audience than the Grammys. Might already have happened. For a one-off occasion. And I wouldn't be surprised when that happens. So, you know what? Yeah. Beyonce may have a million Grammys. She's got like the biggest shelf in the world now to hold all these Grammys. But there are probably about five of them that are worth something. And the rest are just them trying to keep ratings up on the Grammys by giving them to her. Yeah. So anyone who doesn't think that that's the truth is not paying attention, because the ratings tell you everything. It's the same reason they cancel certain shows. And by the way, the other thing they're not going to get me to watch is the Women's World Cup. I got two of my friends who sent me messages yesterday saying, oh, please, we're involved and we love it. You've got to watch the Women's World Cup of cricket. I'm like, I do not. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, I don't even watch the men playing cricket. Why the hell would I watch, be one of the 10 people who are going to give a shit about the Women's World Cup of cricket? Did you even know it was on, MASH? Tell the truth.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't know. So I am a feminist. I do support the ladies, but we also have to be truthful.
Name a female, and realistic. Name a female cricketer.
She cricket lady.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't name a single one.
You just did what Lebang has done with women's soccer and with everybody else. Whenever I ask them, because they go, oh no, I support women's sport. And you ask them for the name of a female cricketer and they go, exactly what you did. I don't know. Because they don't really support it. They just know that it's the right thing to say. So it's just
But Gareth, we do support it. We just don't watch it. So in our hearts, in our spirits, we do support it.
Because they care that you, in your heart and spirit, you know what they need is they need ratings. And if more people watched the shit, then there'd be more sponsors and people would, you know, they'd pay the girls more to play cricket and all that kind of shit. But you supporting it means nothing if you don't watch it. So you're just trying to score points. You're trying to score points with all the feminists, and I just don't believe you. Basically, you're a liar.
No, I never said I watch it. I just said I support.
Just a liar. That's it. I'm going to call it what it is. Sorry.
episode the other day, and I watched a Family Guy episode the other day, and Peter was like, okay, now we're off to the women's NBA. And then it just showed an empty stadium. Like, the whole court was empty. And then it switched back to Peter, and he was like, yeah, we know none of you watch it. Exactly. And that's just the truth. Nobody watches it, but we all claim to support it. And I do agree that, yes, we are trying to get score some points with the feminists, but even the feminists aren't watching it.
Yeah. No, they're not. Nobody cares. So let's stop with the lies. Anyway, we've got to move on because we have the great and powerful JJ Cornish who's with us. Hello, Mr. Cornish. How are you, sir?
Bonjour to you. I'm immensely well. And please don't ask me about women's cricket. I don't want to take the flak.
No. And you know what? I'm really happy that there is a place where talented female sports stars can ply their trade just like anything else. If there's some guy out there who I don't know about, who's, I don't know, a brilliant basketball player, chances are I won't know who it is. But of course there's space for everybody. Just don't pretend that we're talking about something anyone else cares about here, because nobody cares. The Grammys, women's cricket, nobody cares. But what we do care about, JJ, is Africanalysis, and that is brought to you every single time by the Johannesburg Business School. They've come back for another year to keep us informed about the African continent. So we got a lot to get into this morning. First of all, let's talk about a real issue. Human Rights Watch have reported atrocities by Rwandan-backed Tutsi rebels in the DRC. This is a very sensitive issue. You know, it's within living memory, JJ, that the great genocide happened in Rwanda. And I'm surprised that of all the countries in Africa, the one who would be participating in atrocities would be Rwanda after the hard lessons that they all learned. What the hell's going on there?
You know, there's a terrible history of countries that have been very, very badly put upon, overreacting when finally they get some strength. And I mean, you know, that's just the thing. I suppose within the psyche of the nation, they say, we're never going to have this again. We've just got to be very strong. And they're supporting these, Rwanda supporting these Tutsi rebels. And the Human Rights Watch and UN experts have pointed out that there's a people of North Kivu. They in November they killed 23, summarily executed 23. There's been forced recruitment of civilians. They've made life hell for the people in North Kivu, and they're being told to stop it. Well, the Congolese themselves are also being told, you're going to have to prioritize civilian protection, and you're going to have to stop using militia as proxy forces. Use proper army forces. But it really is very, very depressing. And Médecins Sans Frontières is warning of a health disaster because cholera is spreading in the camps of displaced persons around Goma. So, you know, the way they have ascertained this, they've actually interviewed a number of survivors, of witnesses, of family, of local authorities, activists, diplomats, journalists. So this is true. What they have is the unalloyed truth of the atrocities by the M23 and the fact that the M23 is supported by Rwanda, by Paul Kagame.
Yeah, this Paul Kagame is slowly starting to build himself a reputation for being one of the least popular people in Africa, despite the fact that he seems to get, you know, some of the stuff working. It's like people always go, oh, well, you know, Hitler built the autobahns, but he was still Hitler. And Paul Kagame is definitely not a man who's everybody's friend. He certainly hasn't stood up for free speech, for journalists, for making sure that there is some kind of, you know, open society where Rwanda's concerned. But people do say he gets things done, like a lot of dictators do. In this case, obviously, this is not the kind of thing that anyone wants their president involved in, atrocities, even if he's just commanding it from the outside.
Even worse, he actually gets down to killing his political opponents. And he did one of those, made attempts at several of them and actually achieved one in South Africa at the Michelangelo Hotel. So, you know, I mean, that's why relations between South Africa and Rwanda are very soured as a result. And, you know, he behaves appallingly. And the people who do appreciate him appreciate the law and order that he's restored and so on. But Rwandans themselves, you know, get arrested for driving in a dirty motor car. You can imagine. Yeah. That's hardly a freedom, isn't it?
No, I mean, in this country, can you imagine our police telling us that your motor car is dirty and they're going to arrest you? I mean, that's just unbelievable. All right, let's talk about Mali, because as I mentioned to you a while ago, I spoke to LJ Fenter about what's going on in the Central African Republic. It's just now 2-3 weeks ago that I spoke to him. And he also mentioned Mali. And really, there are two sides there. They're the Russians under this Wagner group. And then there's the UN, which is, you know, trying to maintain some kind of peacekeeping. And most of these puppet banana republics like the CAR or like Mali are held up very tenuously. Now, I believe that Mali has expelled their UN human rights chief. So who's in charge there now?
Yes. Well, Guillaume Ngefa Atondoko has been expelled. And why? Well, because when they had hearings back in New York about what is happening there, the witnesses that he chose were activists and people that really knew what was happening on the ground. And the Malians just couldn't take this, so they said, you're out. But without the blue helmets in Mali, they're in stone trouble, absolutely can't contain things. And certainly the Wagner forces are responsible for atrocities themselves and are not doing the job that they're supposed to work. They're desperately responsible for human rights violations. But, you know, the coup, the people from the coup of 21 are denying this. But it's, again, one of those situations where the UN experts themselves are saying this is what is happening on the ground. And this has to be stopped because it affects all those countries in the Sahel, you know, and particularly Burkina Faso and others. And it's created a zone of instability and a zone of enormous danger to the people living there.
JJ, somebody here asked in the comments, and I know I can always drop these surprise ones on you too. Dussie Nose says, Gareth, please ask JJ, did Madagascar get their gold back? Because Aer Lingus in South Africa can now, South Africans can now fly directly to Madagascar again. So we can fly to Antananarivo, right? What happened?
Yes, indeed. I have to say, I don't know exactly. There've been a lot of negotiations and whether or not the actual gold, you know, what gold was outstanding. What we have is a president, former DJ who really plays it off the cuff. And, so it was, a stupid do, particularly since they rely so heavily on traffic from here. What they're thinking of in Madagascar right now is not the flights and getting South Africans back or South African business back, but the terrible, terrible weather at this time and the cyclones and, you know, those sort of things that are making life untenable for them at the moment. So I suppose he would have thought that, why go through this? Let's get the flights back at least and score a point here and there. But this has been very, very welcomed. And I would certainly welcome it because, you know, I've been to Madagascar several times as an election observer. I have a very special place in my heart for the Madagascar. It's the most charming place to go to. And I hate anything to happen there that obfuscates the situation. I think that they need to get back on their feet. And the president needs to see that they do that as soon as possible.
Well, because you never know who's listening, Carl, who listens to us, says, Dussie Nose, my law firm and I are at work on the gold case. The gold is still in the possession of the South African government. So there is actually a law case going on between the two countries at the moment. So there we go. There's an update for you. JJ, what about Ethiopia? Because we've spoken about them a couple of times. The prime minister of Ethiopia.
I will certainly yes? pick. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I say I'll certainly pick up on Madagascar. Next time we speak, I'll have chapter and verse on it. All right.
Awesome. So tell us about Ethiopia, because apparently they've eventually decided to sit down and talk to these Tigray rebels you've told us about.
Here in Pretoria, we hosted them back in November. A deal was signed. It didn't include Eritrea. So everybody thought, well, what is it worth if it's because the Eritreans were there? But the Eritrean forces are moving up.
Having a horrible connection with JJ this morning. All right. I'm going to let JJ go for this morning. I don't know why, but suddenly we've got a pretty horrible connection with him today. Hopefully it'll all be cleared up and we'll get onto that story about Ethiopia next time we get him in. That's JJ Cornish and Africa Analysis. It's brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School. And we're looking at what's happening around us on the African continent. As he said, he'll be back with more on Madagascar and a bunch of other things the next time we chat to him. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, it just it kept breaking up this morning. So we're going to let that happen and let JJ go for the rest of this morning. We will catch up with him, I promise, again, very, very soon. Carl DeSantis says, how do you not know about the gold? It's King Julian's gold from the movie Madagascar. All right. Well, we may not have JJ, but here he is, Gord Laws. Hello, Gordo. How the hell are you? Hello? Gord, you're on mute, you moron.
Sorry. I was just sitting here for so long waiting to get on that I just zoned out.
You should learn how to use your equipment properly, then we won't keep you waiting for so long. So how are you, Gordo?
You wouldn't be the first woman that said that to me, Gordo. I'm good. How are you doing, Chris, man?
Very good. Very, very good. So listen, Gord and I have been talking, and we've got a couple of problems to solve this morning. Oh, where should we begin? First of all, update us on what you've been up to, because we haven't spoken to you since last year.
Yeah, it's been a while. Not a whole bunch to report, really. Living in Cape Town, rollerblading as much as I can. I've got the wind in Cape Town has a vendetta against me. I always skate the promenade into the wind and then get to the end and turn around and skate into the wind. So I'd like to formally complain about that. Boxing as often as I can, working a lot. Like, I've become incredibly boring, Gareth. I really have. I don't jaw.
A lot of people have. It's not the end of the world. It means you're doing productive things and you're adulting, and not every day is exciting and adventurous.
I got a new book out. That's quite fun. Not available in South Africa yet, but we're working on it. It's on Amazon. I wish I had more news. I had a lovely holiday in January, did a bit of South African touristing. I'm fascinated, though, by your developments. You seem to be teasing the launch of a new premises.
Yes.
So I notice your hair is exactly the same, so that's consistent.
That's consistent. But yeah, we've moved into new digs, which you must come and check out when you're in Joburg again.
Yeah, where is it?
We're in Sandhurst, which is only the best possible neighborhood in Joburg to be in. You know,
Sandhurst.
Yes.
Why am I drawing a blank as to where that is? That sounds quite Santony.
Because you don't know any billionaires. That's why.
Okay. Yeah, no,
target market.
Yeah. Sorry. All right. So, Gordo.
Have you got some sort of a Gupta-like hookup?
No, not the Guptas, but we've certainly decided to upgrade our residence and upgrade our offices. So that's why we're where we are. Now, I've got an exciting thing to tell you. Later on at 7:30, we're going to be joined by Professor David Block, who is one of my favorite people. He's going to tell us about this green comet, but also he went on a trip to see the aurora. The Northern Lights, and he'll tell us
this
all about it.
This is a bucket list thing for me.
Oh, dude. He's got pictures to show us and a whole lot more. And Prof Block is one of my favorite people. Mash, you've met him once or twice. He's awesome and much fun.
Hi, yeah. Gord.
I just know for a certainty that I can personally cancel the auroras. I have that power because I've always wanted to go and see them, and I intend to do so, you know. Science willing, I'm going to actually do that mission at some point in my life. So I'm going to go to Iceland or Alaska. It's going to be -1,000. It'll be the coldest possible time. There'll be like leopard seals will be freezing to death on the icebergs. And they'll be like, oh my God, global cooling, you know, trees just splitting in half because it's so cold. I'll go out there. Our guide or, you know, like whatever Sherpa or something that we get will take us out, and they'll just be like, this is the perfect time of year for it, but there's no auroras now because it's hit and miss, right? There's no guarantee. It's like going to the game reserve. They don't guarantee you'll see anything. So I will go, and they'll be like, not in 240 years has there not been a single aurora during this week of this time of year, and I'll just go there and look at clouds and snow. God.
Now, Gord sent me this picture over the weekend, and I laughed like a drain for about, I don't know, 2 hours afterwards. So let me explain the background to this. Gord sends this ad. I've seen this ad before. It's above a urinal somewhere. It could be above a bunch of urinals, so it might not even say same urinal, but here it is. So it says, relieve the pain and discomfort of piles. And then it's got the balloon knot. And then the product, which we'll talk about in a second, but I'm sure you've seen this too, Mash, where they put them in those little frames there. You could see the frame above the urinal.
I've never seen this ever. I don't know which urinals you guys are using.
Well, no, not necessarily match this particular ad, but are you not familiar with urinal ads where you're having a wee and it's right in front of you and they put like the worst advertising? Like when an ad is bad enough, mm-hmm. and it only when an ad falls below 0.75 out of 10 does it qualify to be put above a urinal. And this is where also spelling and grammar and especially title case go to die. Like, I think they take it down if you don't have at least some outrageous grammar issue, which I now say, looking at this one, it actually doesn't seem to have one, but I can't read the small print. So do you not see shit ads while you having a wee at urinals everywhere?
I never do because I never use urinals. I never use urinals. I always go to the toilet. I never use it.
Oh, come on, I never use it.
Okay. Yeah, I just find it so weird.
Stop everything. Okay, we'll get to the ad in a second. You don't use a urinal. I love a urinal. I think urinal.
No, I'm a urinal man. I like to use the middle urinal. My best is when there's three and you've got them all to yourself. Like you're the first arriver and there's three urinals. And you think to yourself, which one should I use? And you use the middle one. So anyone arriving has to then be right next to you. God, that irritates me.
That's very bad. Very bad etiquette.
And people do that and it drives me nuts.
I'm absolutely shocked and traumatized right now. I find urinals to be the most creepiest place to use the toilet in any male's bathroom.
No.
The creepiest place.
Why?
Because you walk in there and then you're just peeing next to people. And there's some creepy people out there who will look at your stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mash, you know what? Your issues around being seen and being pee shy. That's no excuse to condemn the whole urinal thing. Urinal culture is very important, Mash. I would put a urinal in my own bathroom at home. I think it's much more sanitary. You know, there's less splashback and all of that stuff. You know, if you're a guy and you pee with a toilet, like toilets are,
And there are a few things as joyous as when they fill it with ice.
Yes.
And you get to just laser through. I just imagine myself as some giant, and this is a city on the ground, and there's people living there, and I've got like laser piss, and I'm just like tearing through this whole civilization indiscriminately. And it's like you can carve a line, you can go for the middle and then dig like a well, and the outside collapses in. God, there's just little joys to be had in life. Is it urinal or urinal?
Urinal. This is the argument we're about to get into with this product as well. And Mash, allow us to just pause this whole issue with you and urinals, because as Ryan says, you go to nude bars where you've got no clothes on, but you have a problem with someone peeing next to you in a urinal. That's very weird.
Are we talking about nude bars as in a strip club where you go clothed and you look upon people who are paid to be naked, or a nude bar where you as the attendee go nude?
You as the attendee go nude. It's not a strip club. It's nothing sexual like that.
Yeah, sure.
How is it not sexual if it's a bar where everyone's nude?
No, he's told us this story before, and Gord, nobody understands. Even Mash, he hasn't been able to explain it satisfactorily. I'm going to let him try now, just for your benefit, because I think the audience has heard this already. But Mash goes to parties where suddenly he looks around and everyone is not wearing clothes, and he's expected to also not wear clothes, so he joins in. And then he says to us, it's nothing sexual.
Okay, so this is like someone's house party where everyone just gets naked at the Jewel, or it's an actual venue where you've got to like, you know, RSVP, a right of admission reserved, and you've got to like arrive and there's a cash bar and O's just take off their gear and you're like, oh, well. So, yeah, you're not comfortable with the urinal, but you'll go and have a coffee with your mates and then just whip your shit off.
Go for it, Mash.
Yeah, it's definitely the second one. So it's just you just get there, take your clothes off at the door, and then just go in. Just go in. Simple as that. You walk in your underwear. You can take your underwear off at any point in time. It is up to you. There is a cash bar, and there are some rooms in the back where I saw people walking to and walking fro. I don't know what's happening back there, but it is a fun experience. It is absolutely laid back and there's nobody looking down at your junk the whole time. I never saw any wandering eyes. Everybody there is so civilized. And the thing is, when everybody's naked, it's okay. It's a safe space.
As you're opposed telling to me you everyone's alone. Naked and no one's checking out anybody's junk. I wouldn't be able to help myself. Like that's like,
well, of course,
take you off do. Your gear. Don't worry, no one will look.
But nah. Of course, you do. You do have a glimpse every now and then, but nobody's just staring. Like,
have you what been? And I remember. You get wood?
Like, have you been? Have you been back, Mash? I mean, if you went to this place once because your friend kind of, you know, they tricked you really into going. You didn't know what it was. Yeah. But have you been? Have you been back since?
No, I haven't went back ever since. And I'm not so close to this friend anymore. Ever since that experience. So, God, right. I didn't know where I was going. All the way to this place. And the next thing you know, I'm being told to take off my clothes at the door. And I took off my clothes. Simple as that. But, yeah, I think that urinals are creepy. Back to urinals. I think urinals are creepy because imagine just peeing and more. You look...
Just one more question. Okay, so is it full, like, butt naked, or are you allowed to, like, go boxer shorts? Is it up to you to what extent you get naked? And do you absolutely have to? Like, if you arrive with a group of mates and one of them is like, look, I'm really not comfortable with this, do they just like, sweet, we'll get you an Uber. Sorry, man, catch you next time. Or is it like, all right, our mate wants to wear flippy flops and a pair of shorts?
So the thing is with this place is Ubers don't get there. It's in a slightly dodgy part of town. So Ubers don't reach that part of town. So
someone didn't commit like, were they not just tricking you? Like, we're going to a sex party. It's a really nice nightclub. No Ubers can get there. It's literally underground.
Well, I didn't actually check if I could order an Uber. I was just told that no Ubers could get there. We parked a few blocks away and walked there. And the experience was amazing. It was fun. I didn't feel uncomfortable in any way. And they were, yeah, it was just a fun experience. Very fun.
That's my last question before we move on is like, can you do partial nudity if you're not comfortable with full nudity?
Yes, he said you could wear just your underwear. You didn't listen.
And are you allowed to wear shoes? Because that would be funny if everyone was wearing shoes but no other clothes. I would love that.
You must wear shoes. So because there's alcohol, it's a must to wear shoes. Because you know where there's alcohol, bottles break. So shoes are a must.
All right. So, Gord, I can tell you're fascinated, but I think Congo Chris makes an interesting point. Can we please talk about the condom and cock ring vending machines in UK bathrooms? Why can't we get cool shit like that? They have cock ring vending machines in the UK. I mean, I've seen condom ones.
I know the condom, Joel, but like, are you sure?
Did you just
get a particularly tight condom and not know how to use it right?
What does a cock ring do, God?
Well, it's really quite self-explanatory, Mash. It's a ring and you put it on your wang. I think it's funny. I think it's for like blood restriction or something. I'm not an expert on cock rings, but... Or if two chickens get married, that's the other kind of cock ring.
But, are they like available in different sizes or is it like one size fits all?
Basically, it's like a condom, but without the condom, right? You just got the roly part and then you just roll it on and it doesn't. I'm not sure. Let's have some. I forgot. I actually don't want to open up that Pandora's box in the comments. Know.
You see, we're meant to be talking about this product, but I have a feeling we're going to have to wait until after 7 because it deserves the time. And Gord and I have had, I don't want to lie, like half an hour of communication over this before we've actually spoken about it, but we'll talk about this in a moment, this product, which we've got to get to. Just Gord, quickly, explain this to everybody.
Oh, yes. For those not able to see the screen, this is a picture of a gigantic cyclops. He looks like something like a combination of a Greek warrior and the cave troll from Lord of the Rings. So Gareth posted, and I really want to get on the topic of basicness on the internet. Not that you were being basic, just stupid, repetitive memes, and it's funny once and you see it 50,000 times. But now there's this new thing of, you know, people point up and there's text on the screen and this like passes for content and it's usually just banal and terrible. But in this case, it goes ruin a song that's by pointing out that it sounds like someone else. They worded a little bit better than that. It's like ruin a song that sounds like someone else. So he puts on REM, The One I Love. This one goes out to the one I love. And then points out that that sounds like Nick Cage. And Gareth was quite right by reposting it, that when you hear it, you're like, oh my God, this song being sung sounds like Nick Cage talking. But I immediately, and like, this is a song you've grown up with. It's like all parent music, even though you don't like it, you can't avoid knowing every word to it, especially in the days when people actually listen to the radio, just like you're sucked. So I'm like, I've heard this song 100 million times. But in this particular instance, I heard The One I Love with a hyphen. So like O-N-E hyphen E-Y-E, The One I Love. And I just imagined this singer in love with a giant cyclops. This one goes out to the one I love. So I immediately WhatsApped Gareth a picture of the cyclops and went like, this is the one I love. And he just found it extremely funny. So if anyone is able to, like, if you like me, can now never unhear that song again, thinking about the one I love. It's like Alanis Morissette's cross-eyed bear that the ex gave to her. It's not fair to deny me of the cross-eyed bear that you gave to me.
the cross-eyed bear.
You mentioned a bear with crossed eyes.
The breakup happens and she treasures her cross-eyed bear and like then the guy comes and takes it away and she's like, it's not fair to deny me of the cross-eyed bear that you gave me. And then there's the one I love. God.
You know,
you have to make your own fun in this life, because if you listen to JJ, you'll realize how bloody depressing it really is.
So listen, this is very important. I wish that they would do these discussions in university English classes, because this would teach people the importance of punctuation and of pronunciation and grammar. Because if you get confused about the one I love, as in the one eye.
The one I love.
Or the cross-eyed bearer. I think that these are great explanations of how English can be very, very confusing. Parallel Parking says cock rings are used to increase the pleasure of sodomy. Come on, MASH. This is your field. I don't know if it is. There you go. A cock ring is used
This escalated quickly. That just took a proper turn.
Yonder says a cork ring, actually, the way that Yonder spelt it, is used to restrict some blood flow from your balls from banging, thus making you last longer.
This feels incredibly niche. To be in a vending machine, it's like all power to people who are into this sort of thing. I think anything that's consensual and doesn't involve animals or children is between adults to do what they want. Like, really, if you're in private, do what you – cock rings, knock yourself out. But, like, it seems like quite a niche thing. It's like we got condoms in the vending machine, sanitary pads, and leather gimp masks. Like,
well you know, I mean, like, I see a lot of these vape vending machines around at the moment. And I can understand that, because vapes are really popular and everybody's smoking vapes at the moment. But, like, a cock ring, as you say, Gord, it's so niched. I mean, how small is the vending machine? I mean, how many can you possibly sell in a day or night, you know? Yeah.
And how many people are like, I've come to the bar, like, I've, you know, got this, I've met this lovely man or woman, and I'm having it that we're on our third drink and it looks like it's going to go well, but like, damn, I don't have any cock rings on me. Like, this is just going to spoil the entire occasion. You know, got to practice safe sex. Listen, and
I hate to.
So I'm sorry. I'd love to go back home with you, Jeff or Jane. You know, but I'm not prepared. Do you at your house have any cock rings? God, really?
Luckily, I don't know what a cock ring would cost, but I mean, if you've got a 20 rand note, will it take those or does it just take coins?
Now what I need to do is get a ring made like this one on my finger, but then it has to have this rooster sticking off of it. And when people are like, what's going on with your ring? You'll be like, oh no, it's just my cock ring. I always have to have one on hand. Quite literally.
All right. Well, more fun on the way in the next hour, including finally, I hope we're going to start with this. We're not going to get distracted and waylaid as we have been in the last 20 minutes.
Oh, yes, we are.
We're going to talk very seriously about this product and how you pronounce the name, which is massively important, and also the variations on it. Because believe me, it's like a symphony. This product has many, many undercurrents and harmonies, and you know there are stories within stories. We've got to get into all of this. That's coming up next. Gord Laws is with us. Mash is with us in the studio in Johannesburg. Don't go anywhere. Cliffcentral.com. It is Tuesday morning. Stick around for a whole lot more. It's all on the way. Cliffcentral.com.